Thank you for getting ready to listen to this new episode of Shooting Lifestyle, brought to you by the Playmakers Blog Sports Network. The Playmakers Blog and Shooting Lifestyle is sponsored by Fanatics. Get your fishing license, everything from Fanatics. Hat, shirts, jerseys, book bags, duffel bags, memorabilia. You can get it all from Fanatics.com or a sports fan shop. And for the next 48 hours, you can get free shipping on orders over $24. That is 24 ship. That is 24 SHIP ship for free U.S. shipping over $24. And Shooting Lifestyle is also sponsored by Liz. Locker Room by Liz. Get your favorite hat wear with your favorite team logo or custom made at Liz by Locker Room. And as of today only, you have today only. Yet again, for free shipping on U.S. orders over $24. Free shipping on U.S. orders over $24. Put the promo code LIDS24. That is LIDS24. Now it's time for Shooting Lights Out. Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing today on this Monday, February 27, as we close out month number 2 of the new year, getting ready to month number 3 of the new year. And month number 3 is a special time of year for a basketball fan, because that is the month of March, and then March Madness is coming. Speaking of which, we will talk college basketball here on today's show, because, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to put it like this. Basketball from college to the professional was unbelievable. Unbelievable games of basketball over the weekend. Unbelievable stuff took place. Let me fix this real quick. It was a joy to watch these games over the weekend. We're going to get to our college basketball. That's towards the end of the show, okay? Because we're going to go a full day. We're going to go first off with the NBA. We're going to go around the hall with the NBA, okay? So let's go ahead. And hit the NBA with around the hardwood. As to begin, Jason Kidd on blowing Hughes Lee, Mavs have to grow up. Exactly what he said. And I'm gonna touch on it more, because the next part of the show is a flagrant foul on the Dallas Mavericks. I will get to that. But yes, what Jason Kidd said is about to be true, so I will come back to this. It is so true that the Mavs need to grow up. In the same game, LeBron James to minor right foot injury against Mavs. He twisted his ankle against the Dallas Mavericks. He said he heard it pop, whatever it was. He said he popped. Nevertheless, he did finish the game. They're going to monitor. They're going to see what's going to happen. But here's my question, though, to Laker Nation. With LeBron saying that this is the most important 23 games of his career for regular season-wise, can you afford to have the King sidelined due to an injury? Can you have that? Because let's look at the standings as of right now, before we even recap what took place. As of right now, the Lakers are 12th in the West. They are half a game behind the Portland Trailblazers, who was the 11th seed. Golden State has moved. Golden State is 7. Utah is 8. Minnesota is 9. And the Orlando Pelicans is 10. The Lakers are currently 2 full games behind the Golden State Warriors for the 7th spot. 2.5 games behind the Dallas Mavericks for for the sixth spot. Minnesota is struggling. New Orleans Pelicans is struggling. Utah might be coming back down to earth at 500. And Golden State is not even healthy. Can you afford to have the King miss some significant games down the stretch? That is my question for Laker Nation. I don't think you can afford it. Your next game is Tuesday against the Memphis Grizzlies, if I recall. I will get to that a little later. But can you afford, if you're LeBron James, to miss some games with an ankle injury, knowing that you are pushing at best the sixth seed and at the minimum a play-in spot? That's a question for the Laker Nation and LeBron James to think about, because he said this is the most important 23 games of his career as far as the regular season. You have played 81 games. You have played 61 games. You have 21 left. Can missing a couple of games hurt the Lakers' chances? I'm just asking the question here. So that's something for Laker Nation LeBron James to ponder on as we move on. Damian Lillard scores career best 71 behind 13 three-pointers. That guy was on a mission. Now, I can't recap this game because this game is not part of the Around the Hardwood setting that I put together. But I can recap this game. Damian Lillard against the Houston Rockets with the final score 131-114, winning for the Portland Trail Blazers that moved them ahead of the Lakers. Damian Lillard had 41 at halftime. He scored 30 in the second half. Damian Lillard was 22 for 38. He was 13 for 22 from three-point range. He had 6 rebounds and 6 assists to go along with 71 points. Now, it was against the Houston Rockets. Let's be honest. It was against the Houston Rockets. But 71 is 71 regardless. And this man went 22 for 38. So, let me do some math. That dude shot 58% from the field. And 59% from three. I'm going to say that again. Damian Lillard against the Houston Rockets last night shot 58% from the field. We want to be accurate, 57.9. And he shot 59% from three. That by itself shot better than the entire Houston Rockets team, who shot 45% from the field and 27% from three. Good gracious. Oh, and by the way, he put Jabari Smith Jr. on the poster as well. I didn't see the poster. I didn't have time. I wish I did. But Murray got around. Part of the 71 was putting Jabari Smith on the poster. So he got that going too. So shout out to Dame Dolla for putting the Blazers on his back. Currently, I have a game out of the 10th spot behind the New Orleans Pelicans. Now let's recap what took place over the weekend. Saturday. Saturday was a great day of basketball in the NBA. We kicked it off with the 76ers hosting the I got my slides messed up. I do apologize. Let me find the right one and go back in order. Actually, I didn't put it on here. Okay. Leave that right there for right now. Actually, take this down for right now. This is what we have. Saturday, we have some good games going on Saturday. One of which was a good game, but it shouldn't have been a good game. The Miami Heat losing to the Charlotte Hornets 108-103. That's the Heat 4th straight loss, even dating before the All-Star break. As I'm looking at the stats from Saturday, Jimmy Butler, 28.6 assists, 3 rebounds. Tyler Hero led all scores with 33 points. five boards and five assists. Duncan Robinson only played 6 minutes and he got one shot up. He missed it. Victor Oladipo in 21 minutes, 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 4 from the field. Matt Strus in 19 minutes, 0 for 3 from the field, all of them being three-pointers. Gabe Vincent, who was in the starting lineup, only 5 points in 27 minutes. Bam Adebayo, 31 minutes played, you only gave me 14, 6, and 4. You went 6 from 14 from the field. New acquisition, Kevin Love, in 26 minutes, 13 points, 13 boards. Remember what I told y'all? That Kevin Love can be a double-double machine. Well, that's a double-double. 13 and 13 is a double-double. Nevertheless, it's a damn L. Miami now falls to 32 and 29 on the season. That puts them in the seventh spot in the East, which is the playing spot. With the Knicks being in the sixth spot with a 2.5 lead. No, with a 2.5 lead on the Miami Heat. Miami better get it together. Miami better get it together. This is not what we expected from the Miami Heat. Okay. Also on Saturday, we saw the New York Knicks beat the New Orleans Pelicans 128-106 in Madison Square Garden. The Grizzlies handled the Denver Nuggets 112-94. Morant dropping 23 points, and the Nuggets was blown out the door by halftime. But we got more Nuggets going on. And then the Saturday night cap, primetime game, was the Boston Celtics in the city of Buried Love to take on the Philadelphia 76ers with a struggling Jason Tatum, ladies and gentlemen. Jason Tatum struggled his butt off, okay? Jason Tatum, 18 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. He was 7 for 17 from the field, 3 from 8 from 3. He struggled, but guess what? The deepest team in the NBA is the Boston Celtics. Al Horford, 15 points. Robert Williams, 14 points. Marcus Smart, who returned to the lineup, 10 points. Derrick Rice off the bench, 18 points. Jason Tatum's backcourt mate, the star mate, Jaylen Brown, 26 points. And 3 of Tatum's 18 points came on the game-winning shot. As the Celtics win 110-107. Thus spoiling the game that Joel Embiid had with 41 points, 12 boards, and 5 assists in 40 minutes played. James Harden, 21 points, 6 boards, 8 assists. Tobias Harris dropped in 19. That was about it. PJ Tucker gave you 7. Melton gave you 7. McDaniels came off the bench, gave you 4. Tyrese Maxey only gave you 8. That was it. That was it for Philadelphia. Outside of Harris, Embiid, and Harden, that was it. That's 3 guys that scored in double figures. But the subject, you have the entire starting lineup from Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Robert Williams, Marcus Smart, and Jaylen Brown scored in double figures. And then Derrick Wright come off the bench and scored in double figures. This team is deep. This team is loaded. This team is unreal. The deepest team in the league is the Boston Celtics. By the way, who has the best record in the league? That's 44-17. Okay. That was Saturday. Now let's get to the Sunday. Since I accidentally forgot the Saturday slot. We kicked off Sunday with a good one in the state of Wisconsin with the Phoenix Suns taking on the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis into the cupo. And the Milwaukee Bucks pushed their winning streak to 14 with a 104-101 win over the Phoenix Suns. Jrue Holiday led the way with 33 points. You got 22 from Brook Lopez with 13 rebounds. Bobby Portis returned from his injury and gave you 10 and 6. Chris Middleton, who has continued to come off the bench as he recovers from that lengthened injury that he had from last season, that he missed 41 games already. He came off the bench, gave you 11, 10, and 6. It was just enough. Jay Crowder gave you a crucial 7 points. It might be 7 points on the scoreboard, but I don't think I understand the crucial 7 points that Jerry Crowder gave the Bucks were crucial. That was in like the late third, fourth quarter type points, when you needed them. And it was enough to hold off the Phoenix Suns, who still doesn't have Kevin Durant yet, but we'll wait and see. But for us, with the team that they already had, Devin Booker, 24 points, 8 assists, 4 boards. Chris Paul, 18 points, 7 assists, 5 boards. DeAndre Ayton, 22 points, 11 boards. You got some production from the three that you got. Oki get you 11 and 7. Okay. Terrence Craig gave you 10 rebounds. It was a good default game, but Jrue Holiday and company, when they counted more, Jrue Holiday led the way for the Bucks to get a crucial win to push the win streak to 14, even without Giannis in the lineup. Then we move on to the Brooklyn Nets down in the ATL to take on Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. A game where the Hawks led by as much as 20. They only had the Brooklyn Nets come back and make it a game to force Trae Young to hit the buzzer-beater jumper to win 129-127. Trae Young with 34 points on the day, with 8 assists. Javante Murray gave you 28 as well. They combined for 62 points. They got 12 from John Collins. Bogdanović came off the bench, gave you 22. As they hold off the Brooklyn Nets comeback win. Spencer Dinwiddie, 20 points, 8 assists. Mikal Bridges, 24 points. Cam Johnson, 27 points to lead the way. Dorian Finney-Smith gave you 12. You got 12 from Royce O'Neal. Cam Thompson came off the bench and gave you 22. It's a scrappy Brooklyn team that was down early and couldn't finish the comeback. That's all that was. Next game on the docket was the Washington Wizards in the city of Windy to take on the Chicago Bulls, and it was not a contest to start off with. 102-82 beating of the Wizards. DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine combined for 56 points, and that's all I'm going to say on that. Our next big game from yesterday was in the state of Texas when the Los Angeles Lakers paid a visit to Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. A game that I will dive in more into when I get to the fair and foul. But you see the final score here, 111-108. Lakers win that game in historic fashion. And I'll touch on that in my fair and foul. But we wasn't done for the games from yesterday. The Cleveland Cavaliers hosted the Toronto Raptors, and they put the Toronto Raptors to bed, 118-93. Donovan Mitchell with 35 points as they routed the Raptors. Jared Allen also added 23-11. Nothing you can say on that one. Two of the surprising teams in the West, part in the league, was the Sacramento Kings in Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder. Oklahoma City fell behind early, made a swift comeback in the third, but at the end of it was the Sacramento Kings taking it 124-115. De'Aaron Fox, 33 points to lead the way with 8 assists. Keegan Murray added 20 as they shut down the Oklahoma City Thunder without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for this game. The Minnesota Timberwolves, they were taking on the Golden State Warriors down in the Bay. No Steph Curry, no Draymond Green, no Andrew Wiggins for the Warriors, no Rudy Gobert, no Karl-Anthony Towns for the Timberwolves. So we should see how this one go. Started off very well for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They jumped out early and they found themselves with the L though. They led as much as about 17, as much as they had a lead. And yet they could not put Golden State away. a serious fourth quarter comeback from the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors outscored the Minnesota Timberwolves 37-17 in the fourth quarter. 31-17 in the fourth quarter. I want y'all to think about that. They was down 19 going into the fourth quarter, and they outscored them 31-17 in the fourth quarter to win that game. That's a big turnaround. Klay Thompson lit up again. He had 32 in the game to lead the comeback and lead the win for the Golden State Warriors at home. Donovan DiVincenzo with 21 and 8 boards. Jordan Poole with a mile 15, 5 for 20 from the field. Jonathan Kuminga, 13. Kevon Looney with 20 and 17. It's amazing how they did it, and you spoil a career night from Naz Reid, who had 30 points and 9 boards for the Timberwolves. But Anthony Edwards only gave you 12. Kyle Anderson, who got the start, gave you 12. Jalen Danielson, who was in the starting lineup, only gave you 12. Mike Conley, who was the starting point guard, gave you 9. You didn't really get much from the rest of the team outside of Naz Reid, who gave you 30 and 9. What a shame. And then the nightcap of the weekend came to the city, the Mile High City in Denver, Colorado, as the Nuggets hosted the Los Angeles Clippers. Let's see how the Clippers would bounce back from that double overtime loss to the Sacramento Kings and that historic game that took place. And I got to say, for the most part, the Denver Nuggets controlled most of this game. But the Clippers fought back to send it in overtime. And in overtime, it was all Denver. 134-124, Denver Nuggets win. They was tied at 124 going into overtime. As you can, and if you're trying to be mathematicians, the Denver Nuggets outscored the Los Angeles Clippers 14-4 in the overtime session. The Joker, 40 points, 17 boards, 10 assists, a 40-point triple-double for the Joker, and the two-time reigning league MVP, Jamal Murray, gave you 21 with 12 assists and 5 boards. Michael Porter Jr. gave you 29 points and 11 boards. Bruce Brown came off the bench, gave you 13 and 7 boards. This is what Denver looks like when they fully healthy, huh? It could be dangerous because Aaron Gordon didn't have a good game. He only had 6 points, 6 boards, and 6 assists. And he fouled out. His stat was full of 6. 6 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 6 personal fouls. He was 0 for 5 from 3, 3 from 9 from the field. Nevertheless, it was enough to hold off the Clippers' comeback. Kawhi Leonard, 33 points with 6 boards. Paul George with 23 points. Not 1-3 going in, but made all his free throws. Russell Westbrook in 25 minutes of play, 17 points, 5 boards, and 4 assists. Nicholas Batum off the bench gave you 12. You got 10 from Holland, who was returning to Denver. Outside of that, you ain't getting much. Terrence Mann only gave you 7. Eric Gordon didn't give you nothing in 25 minutes played. Norman Powell only gave you 9. You only got 7 and 10 from Miles Plumlee. Marcus Morris only gave you 6. Not enough. Kawhi needs help. Paul George didn't show up until the fourth quarter, and then he didn't show up in overtime. Nor did Kawhi Leonard. Let me tell you something. They 4 points in overtime came from the free throw line. The 2 free throws from Miles Plumlee and the 2 free throws from Paul George. That was their 4 points in overtime. Denver outscored them 14-4. That's how bad and inept the Los Angeles Clippers was in overtime against the Golden State, against the Denver Nuggets last night. That's how bad it is. Nevertheless, it's game 2 with the Russell Westbrook and you're 0-2. Go figure. So that was the weekend that was in the NBA. But the fun doesn't stop because we got some games to watch. Starting tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to kick it off on NBA TV at 7 p.m. The Miami Heat is in the city of brotherly love to take on the Philadelphia 76ers. The Heat on a 4-game losing streak, and Philly is trying to keep pace with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics, but they took an L to one of them teams already in the Boston Celtics, so Somebody needs a big win. 7:30 at MSG, Madison Square Garden in New York City. It's the Knicks hosting the Boston Celtics. And then at 8 p.m. Eastern. But don't look now. Don't look now, because I know there's some of y'all looking like, is that the Orlando Magic on there? Yes, it's my Orlando Magic. Because with the New Orleans Pelicans struggling as they are without Zion Williamson and holding on to that 10th spot, just a game and a half ahead of the Portland Trail Blazers. Up on the Lakers, they need this win at home against a Magic team who, quite frankly, is only 3.5 back of the Washington Wizards, surprisingly. Anything can happen. Washington has been losing. Washington has been 4 out of 6 in their last 5. Magic has been 5-5 out of their last 10. Anything can happen. Chicago, Indiana has not been smoking hot. Chicago has won 4 out of their last 10. Indiana's 3-7 in their last 10. It's not the realm of possibility. I can't believe I'm saying this, but as a Magic fan, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm happy to say this. It's not out of the realm of possibility. The Magic might sneak up and catch one of these 3 teams. It's not out of the realm of possibility here. So this is a big game, not only for the Pelicans who are at home, but for my Magic as well. So that's a game to be paid attention to for obvious sneaky reasons. And then we move on to tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, the 28th. Speaking of the Washington Wizards, they are in the ATL to take on the Atlanta Hawks. That's not going to be an easy task for the Washington Wizards. Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma versus Trae Young and Devontae Murray. By the way, Quinn Snyder is expected to make his coaching debut for the Atlanta Hawks at this game against the Washington Wizards. He has signed a 5-year deal, so that's something to also add to the equation as well. Now, after that, 7:30, you can watch the Milwaukee Bucks try to go for 15 in a row in New York City when they take on the Brooklyn Nets at the Barclays Center. Also at 7:30, Chicago Bulls are up north to take on the Toronto Raptors. So, like I said, Toronto trying to move up and catch Atlanta as they are the 9th seed. So you have them taking on the Chicago Bulls. You have the Hawks going against the Washington Wizards. It's not the one. If the Magic beat the Pelicans today, the Heat can lose to the Toronto Raptors. The Wizards can lose to the Hawks. Anything's possible at this moment in time. Just letting you know that. And then TNT can get us started with our doubleheader. Our first of our doubleheader takes us to the FedEx Forum. Memphis, Tennessee, at John Morant and the Grizzly host LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Will LeBron play that game? That is going to be the question surrounding Los Angeles Lakers and for the Memphis Grizzlies. Can they build on what they did to the Denver Nuggets over the weekend? Can they build on that and show the world that they can be a team to be reckoned with? And not a team people look at and say they ain't. That's the first half of tomorrow's slate. The second half, 8 o'clock, the Sacramento Kings, round 2 with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Can Oklahoma City split the 2-game split, or will the Kings sweep them? At 8:30, the Indiana Pacers, who are just a game and a half ahead of the Orlando Magic, they are in Dallas to take on Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and the Dallas Mavericks. At 10 p.m., the Dame Dollar coming off that 71-point game. He's taking it from Portland down to the Bay Area to take on the Golden State Warriors, who will be suited up for the Golden State Warriors, who will not be suited up for the Golden State Warriors. It's something to behold. And then the second of our TNT doubleheader takes us to Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles, California, where the Los Angeles Clippers will try to get their first win with Russell Westbrook as they host the struggling Minnesota Timberwolves. That is Tuesday, tomorrow, the final day of February. And then to kick it into March, round two between the Sixers and Heat. This time is traveling from the city of brotherly love down to South Beach. Let's see how that game goes. And then also at 7:30, the battle for New York continues when the Knicks host the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Wednesday is ESPN doubleheader at 7:30. We're going to kick it off at TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts, when Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers pay a visit to Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics. In our second half of that meeting, the Orlando Magics, they are in Milwaukee. Will Milwaukee be at 15 in a row by the time this game happens? Or will they have finally had their first loss in 15 games as we face the Milwaukee Bucks? Also at 8, the Lakers take their talents to the Thunder and face off with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Will Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be back for that game? Will LeBron health it with that ankle injury? All these games are important. If you're starting to see the pound, all these games are starting to get important now. These are some important games coming up here. And then the second of our doublehead on ESPN takes us to Portland, where the New Orleans Pelicans visit the Portland Trailblazers. CJ McCollum returning to Portland to take on Damian Lillard. That should be a fun one to watch, ladies and gentlemen. And that was our NBA around the hardwood. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I got a favorite Friday.
The Playmakers Blog is proudly to announce that it is sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics, where you can get all your official licensed sports gear, memorabilia, whether it's for the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, or even International Soccer League, or even college sports. So rep your team. Rep the hardware. Get comfortable. Because Fanatics is the way to go, where sports fans shop and official license everything.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Up. For those of you who didn't catch the opening part of the show, Fanatics is doing free shipping on U.S. orders over $24. That is free shipping over order over $24. Use the promo code 24SHIP. That is 24SHIP for shipping. For your order. And now let's get to a flagrant foul. Ladies and gentlemen, our flagrant foul takes us to the Lone Star State, the state of Texas, the city that is called Dallas, Texas. We're not talking Dallas Cowboys, American team. But we're talking about the Dallas Mavericks, ladies and gentlemen. In this favorite foul, the Dallas Mavericks here has not been playing good basketball since trading for one Kyrie Irving. As it sits right now, the Dallas Mavericks are currently sixth in the West at 32-30. They are scoring 113 points a game. That is 18th in the league. They are giving up 112.5 points per game. That is 12th in the league. This all includes everything that happened before the trade of Kyrie. 30th in rebounding at 38.8. 29th in assists at 22.4. These are the numbers of the entire season so far. But since trading for Kyrie, ladies and gentlemen, they have won. They are 3-4 since trading for Kyrie. 3-4 since training for Kyrie Irving. Would Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic have been on the court together? They are 1-3. The only game they haven't played together since Luka's been back and Kyrie's trade is the Denver Nuggets game on February 15th. I'll break it down for you. But when I break it down, we're going to talk about this game that happened. Let's talk about this game that happened yesterday first against the Los Angeles Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks at home hosting the Los Angeles Lakers.
And the start of this game couldn't go no better if you were, if you was a Laker hater like I am, a Dallas Mavericks fan. They were smacking LeBron James and the Lakers left and right. Luka had 11 in the first quarter. And Kyrie ain't even get started yet. So you just imagine what can happen going forward from here, knowing that Luka's already at 11 and Kyrie hasn't even gotten off yet. Okay. You can just imagine.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not on the screen. I want y'all to fully pay attention to the slide that I got you. Because I want you to pay attention to this and not me. Okay.
Seven minutes and 8 seconds left in the second quarter. The Dallas Mavericks was up 48-21 off of Christian Wood's made 25-foot three-pointer from Frank Ntilikina assist. Set 48-21. 7 minutes, 8 seconds left in the second quarter. That is a 27-point lead. And yet Kyrie still ain't been in his bag yet. Okay. As the game continues on, it got here. 18 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Lakers up 108-105. And it ended 111-108 Lakers. Now you ask yourself, how in the blue hell did the Dallas Mavericks give up 111 points to the Los Angeles Lakers when they had a 27-point lead? So, from the 7-minute mark of the second quarter when they had a 27-point lead, the Lakers scored 90 points. 90 points. The Lakers were able to drop 90 points in, let's say, 90 points in 25 minutes. They was able to score 90 points in 25 minutes. 25 minutes. That's dead. I think my math correctly, 24. No, 31 minutes. In 31 minutes, they dropped 90 points from 21-111. That is a 90 points. The Pelicans was at 48. Within them same 31 minutes, the Mavericks scored 60 points. I'll prove it to you. Remember, the score was 21 Lakers, 48 Mavericks. The game ended 111 Lakers, 108 Mavericks. For 31 minutes, the Lakers outscored the Mavericks 90-60. A 30-point turnaround. 30-point turnaround. And who could we credit the 30-point turnaround to? Anthony Davis. 30 points, 15 boards. 4 assists, and if I recall, he had three blocks. Jared Vanderbilt also helped. 15 points, 17 boards, 4 steals. King James gave you 26, 8, and 3. Dennis Schroeder gave you 16. That's it. Anthony Davis and Jared Vanderbilt was the catalyst of the comeback for the Los Angeles Lakers. Not LeBron James. Not King James. Not the leading scorer in the NBA. He had his 26 and 8. But Anthony Davis,
30 points, 15 boards, 4 assists, 3 blocks. Jared Vanderbilt, 15 points.
This man had 17 rebounds. How in the hell did he get 17 rebounds? And he had 4 steals. That is how the Lakers came back. But in order to come back, that means the opposition ain't doing what they're supposed to do, which is what I'm getting to. Remember I told you Luka Doncic had 11 points in the first quarter? Quarters 3 through 4, he had a combined 15 points. He finished with 26 points, 10 for 22 from the field, 4 from 8 from 3, with 9 boards and 5 assists. Kyrie Irving, 21 points, 8 from 22 from the field, 2 for 10 from the 3-point range, and he had 11 boards and 5 assists. Christian Woods off the bench gave you 14 and 9. Tim Hardaway Jr. came off the bench gave you 17. That was about it. Holiday 6. Bullock 6. Powell 6. Markieff Morris 3. Green 9. That is terrible. The Mavericks shot 42% from the field and 41% from 3. The Lakers shot 43% from the field, 17% from 3. And they was able to come back and beat you. They was able to come back and beat you. Like, I'm just looking at it here. The Lakers was 6 for 34 from 3. The Lakers shot 6 from 34 from 3, and they still won. And they was down 27.
But the Mavs shot 20 for 49 from 3. The Lakers were 42 for 97 from the field. The Mavs were 39 for 93 from the field. The Lakers got to the line 28 times and hit 21 of them. That's 75%. The Mavericks got to the line 14 times and hit 10 of them. That is 71%. The Lakers had 17 offensive rebounds to the Mavericks 11. The Lakers had 9 steals. The Mavericks turned the ball over 17 times. Points in the paint, Lakers 62, Mavericks 30. It is amazing me how this went down. It really does. But as you see, those who are watching on YouTube, Anthony Davis, 30 points, 15 boards, 4 assists, 3 blocks. And Jared Vanderbilt, 15 points, 17 boards, and 4 steals. Since trading for Kyrie Irving has been averaging 26.2 points per game, shooting 53.6 from the field, 40.8% from 3-point range. All these numbers are cool. What happened yesterday? Yesterday numbers are included in this. He's giving you 5.2 rebounds a game and 6.5 assists per game. And the record since Kyrie Irving has been there is 3-3 for all assist games. Luka Doncic, on the other hand, since the Kyrie Irving trade, when he has played, because when they first traded for Kyrie Irving, Luka was injured. But since he has returned from injury in the Kyrie trade, Luka has been giving you 30.2 points per game, shooting 51% from the field, shooting 31.6 from 3, getting you 8.2 rebounds a game, and 7 assists a game. Record 1-4 in the 5 games since Luka has returned since the trade for Kyrie Irving. The duo together, since the Kyrie Irving trade and Luka's back from injury, these two are combining for 55.5 points a game, shooting a combined 52.4 from the field, a combined 36.8 from 3, giving you 15.3 rebounds a game, 7.5 assists a game, and the record is 1-3. By the way, I should tell you that these numbers are kind of screwed because they dropped 142 against the San Antonio Spurs. 142 against the San Antonio Spurs, and that was split a couple of games ago. Matter of fact, that was the game before they played the Lakers. That was the game that they played before the Lakers. This duo is 44.5% of the scoring of the Dallas Mavericks. So that means the rest of the team, that means 3 through 12, and whatever order you want to put it in, are giving the Mavericks 55.5% of the score. Nevertheless, this is where we're at with the Dallas Mavericks. And saying so, I didn't put the numbers in the slide, but as an offensive team, they are scoring 121 points per game, but they are giving up 120 points per game. That is a lot of points given up. If the Mavericks ain't scoring 120, they are losing. And if they give up more than 120, they're losing. This is why this is getting ridiculous in the city of Dallas. Okay? So Dallas Mavericks, y'all need to get it together. You have played a handful of games with Kyrie. You damn near played a handful of games with Luka and Kyrie. And y'all have yet to do anything that makes people believe that we should be worried about the duo of Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic because everybody else on the team just ain't cutting it. So the Dallas Mavericks, you are in the fucking foul.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
The Playmakers Bar is proudly to announce that it's landed a partnership deal with Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus. Stream live sports from any device that you have, whether it is your computer, laptop, or even your cellular device. Catch breaking news live when it happens, and enjoy a mountain of entertainment from movies to shows to whatever you love doing. Paramount Plus. Plan starts at $4.99 a month, but right now, you can get a free trial. Just hit that link below with the Playmakers blog and start your free trial right now. Paramount Plus, mountains of entertainment.
Yes, right, ladies and gentlemen, Paramount Plus, get it now. You can get a free trial for a week. You can get the plan for $4.99. You can get the premium plan for $9.99 a month. It's a great thing to have. You're talking CBS, Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Showtime. I mean, you catch up on your favorite shows, live sports, and all that good stuff. Especially with March Madness coming around, you want to get Paramount Plus. And speaking of that, around the hardwood. Time for our college basketball around the hardwood. And I did say we had a full weekend of games in basketball, not just the pros, but in college as well. Starting off with the men's, ladies and gentlemen. Nate Oakes. On Brandon Miller's pack down, not appropriate. This is a pre-game introduction routine that Brandon Miller has done since he has been with the Alabama Crimson Tide, but nevertheless, the whole thing centering around him and the death of a young lady at the hands of ex-teammate Darius Miles is something that was, you can call tone deaf, because optics plays a part in imaging. Optics play a part in reality. A death of a 20-year-old young woman, Miss Harris, at the hands of former teammate Darius Miles, is centering around Darius Miller because he drove the car that ultimately delivered the gun to Mr. Miles that ended up in killing this young lady. Now, he's been acquitted, saying he had no idea that it was going to end in this type of fashion. He did not know where the gun was provided. He did not know where the gun was at. It was sitting behind some clothes in the back seat. Only thing there is Brandon Miles did was drop the car to his friend. Nevertheless, there are circulations going around saying, should he be playing? At this moment in time, you can say whatever your opinion is, but Nate Oates, the AD, the president of Alabama, they agree that he's not being charged. He's not being acquitted. Or what? He's not being charged. He's been acquitted. He's been with innocence in all this, so he deserves to play. That's their choice, and that's their right to make that choice. Unfortunately, Nate Oates said, I quote, I don't watch our introductions. I'm not involved with them. I'm drawing up plays during that time. Regardless, it's not appropriate. It has been addressed, and I can assure you it definitely will not happen again for the remainder of the year. And as I said, this is his normal pregame introduction routine for Brandon Miller, who does the pat down by a walk-on before heading to the midcourt. But looking at the situation that took place, it might be the right call for Nate Oates to say, we can't do that again. I know there's a routine that you don't like to do, but you got to come up with something else. Because the optics of it has people referring to a young lady at the age of 23 being gone at the hands of your former teammate and your friend. That's what the optics are showing. That's what the visual of people getting when you have a walk-on pat you down during pregame introduction before you take the midcourt. Brandon Miller, I want you to understand. And you have been playing terrific since all this has been getting in. You have been balling your tail off, sir. I'm going to give you the props where they are. You are playing your butt off since all this has taken place. But you're a young man. And as a young man, I would like to advise you to pay attention to what you're doing and making sure that no matter what, you let your play speak for you and don't give people reason to look at you in a different manner, okay? Moving on. Temper flare at the end of 16-ranked Xavier and rout of Seton Hall. Now, when I read through this, nothing much really took place, ladies and gentlemen. Xavier got a much-needed victory over Seton Hall Friday night, but it had an ugly ending because both teams came together around the scores table after the Musketeers guard Shirley Baum and Seton Hall freshman guard Jaquan Sanders started drawing. Which is all started because Mr. Baum took a three-pointer with 22 seconds left when the Xavier was already up 82-57. They are 30 seconds and a shot clock. It is 22 seconds remaining in the game. Why are you doing a three when you're up 25? When you're up 25. Senior Hall coach Shaheen Holloway was not happy with it. Raised his hand and did not acknowledge to shake hands with Xavier coach Sean Miller after the game. If you're up 25, you don't take no damn three. I hope Sean Miller got in your face and let you know that you don't do that. We are up 25. The game's well in hand. They are not coming back. Why are you shooting that goddamn three? You take the shot clock violation, if there's a shot clock violation to be had, or you run the damn clock out. Those are your only two options. Don't you ever shoot a damn ball when you're up 25 like that again. Nevertheless, that's all that happened. Nothing physicality took place. No need for suspensions or anything. They didn't like the situation. No physical harm was done. So just this move on. The Houston crew is the number one team in the land. They thumped East Carolina over the weekend and to claim an outright American League title. It's a great job for the Houston Cougars. They're one of the top teams in the league since the beginning of the season. 27-2 overall, 15-1 in conference play. But as Kevin Sampson said, that was just the beginning. Now the real challenge begins. You have the American tournament coming up. And then you have the NCAA tournament coming up, with most likely Houston will be grabbing a number one seed, if not the number one overall seed. That would be between them and Alabama. Who gets the number one overall and who will get that second number one seed? How things are looking. So congratulations to the Houston Cougars, your outright American champions. As we continue, Ole Miss fired men's basketball coach Kermit Davis. I do understand this move. Mr. Davis finished his fifth season as the head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels. He had an overall record of 42-60. That doesn't cut it. He had one tournament appearance. That was his first year when they went 21. They went like 21-10 that year, if I remember correctly. And go look at my numbers just to be sure. Let's see. In his first year, his first season, they went 20-13 overall and 10-8 in the SEC. They earned the AC on Selection Sunday. That was his first season. So we're talking 5 years. We're going back to 2018. Since then, the Rebels have gone 22-47 in the SEC in the past 4 years. They enter the weekend 10-18, 2-13 in SEC play. That is the reason why Mr. Davis has been fired of his. We've been relieved of his duties as the Ole Miss head coach. And I can't blame him. Davis spent since 16 seasons as the head coach at Middle Tennessee, where he went to 3 NCAA tournaments in his final 6 seasons. So that's how he got the head coaching job at Ole Miss. First year there, he got him to the tournament at the AC, and they haven't been back since. I can't blame Ole Miss for doing that, because you thought you had something, but it just didn't work out. Potential candidates to replace Mr. Davis at Ole Miss includes Florida Atlantic's Dusty May, North Texas' Grant Viscarlin, and it could be mentioned that Mr. Chris Beards could be looked at to take place over the Ole Miss Rebels. So that is that for the men's side. Now this week after weekend, shall we? Let's begin what took place, I want to say Friday, Saturday, whatever the case may be. Villanova upsets 19 Creighton, 79-67. Creighton did not need a loss like this towards the end of the season. So Creighton need to get it together. You know, a loss that didn't need to take place. The Oklahoma Sooners walked in Ames, Iowa, against 23rd-ranked Iowa State, and they gave them the business, 61-50. A upset road win for the Oklahoma Sooners. Iowa State didn't lead a loss like that towards the end part of the season. Sticking with the Big 12, 24-ranked TCU, they went to Lubbock, Texas to take on the Texas Tech Red Raiders, and they came out with the 83-82 win in Lubbock, Texas. Shout out to TCU getting a big road win. Alabama, they took care of business despite what was talked about earlier. We have Brandon Miller. They took care of business against the Arkansas Razorbacks, 86-82 at home. The battle for Arizona was taking place at Tucson, Arizona, with the Wildcats ranked 7 in the country, but they got stunned at the buzzer by the arch rivals, the Sun Devils of Arizona State. 89-88 as the Sun Devils hit a 3/4 court buzzer beater to knock out the Wildcats. That's a devastating loss for the Wildcats and a big win for the Sun Devils because they are trying to make a return, and that might have got them in there. Continuing on, we had a top 10 showdown in the Big 12 down in Waco, Texas, with 9th-ranked Baylor Bears hosting the 8th-ranked Texas Longhorns, and it started off good for Texas, but it ended well for Baylor. 81-72, Baylor Bears get the top 10 victory. Continuing on from Waco, Texas, up to Stillwater, Oklahoma, where it's the 14th-ranked Kansas State Wildcats taking on the Oklahoma State Cowboys. And the Oklahoma State Cowboys, they needed every type of win that they can get, but Kansas State was not having it. 73-68, Wildcats over the Cowboys. Let's head down to the SEC real quickly, as it was Mississippi State hosting 25th-ranked Texas A&M. Mississippi State on the bubble line trying to get a big win, and they got it. They knock off 25th-ranked Aggies, 69-62, big win for them. A team who also needed a big win was the West Virginia Mountaineers. They was in Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence, Kansas, to take on a 3rd-ranked and defending champion, Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas, they got everything they got from West Virginia, but Kansas would not be upset on this day. 77-74, Kansas survives the Mountaineers. Head to the ACC and down to Coral Gables, Florida, to see the Miami Hurricanes ranked 13th in the country taking on an in-state rivalry, the Florida State Seminoles. And that ended in a shocking buzzer beater as Florida State knock off Miami, 85-84. Terrible. Just a terrible loss for the Hurricanes at home to the arch rivals. As we continue on, it was North Carolina, the preseason number one favorite, fighting for the NCAA tournament lives as they are on the bubble. They are on the first four out line, according to Jordan Ennardi. And they get their first quad one win of the season when they take down 6th-ranked Virginia Cavaliers 71-63. According to Jordan Ennardi, they still got work to do, but this is a big step for them, for the North Carolina Tar Heels. They got work to do. North Carolina, good win. Heading back to the SEC, we're going to Rupp Arena, ladies and gentlemen. It was the Kentucky Wildcats hosting the Auburn Tigers, and John Calipari's team is starting to make that a run as they beat the brace off Bruce Pearl's Tigers 86-54. The Auburn Tigers were struggling down the stretch. Did they do enough in the early part of the season to make the tournament? Because they're starting to slide, and this slide is not going well for Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers. But Kentucky, I think they solidified themselves as the NCAA tournament, who they was on the bubble just a week ago. But with a four-game winning streak, I think they solidified their spot. Down to the Big Ten, we're going up to Indiana. It's the battle for Indiana when 17th-ranked Indiana Hoosiers took on the 5th-ranked Purdue Boilermakers and West Lafayette, and Indiana has swept the season series over their arch rivals, the Purdue Boilermakers, 79-71. Purdue, I don't know what it is. People like saying Purdue's that team to beat. I don't see it. I'm not sold on Purdue. Indiana showed why I am not sold on Purdue. Down to the Pac-12, we had USC taking on Utah. Two teams who are on the bubble line. One team had got to get a good win. The other team going to be in dire straits. It will be the Trojans of USC getting the big win, 62-49, putting the Utah using dire straits of making the postseason tournament. As we continue on a big weekend that was in college basketball, the Duke Blue Devils was hosting the Virginia Tech Hokies at Cameron Indoors, and Virginia Tech needed everyone they can get, and Duke was not handing them anything. 81-65, the Blue Devils stormed past the Hokies. Game of the week takes us to the West Coast Conference when it was Gonzaga, ranked 12th in the country, hosting 15-ranked St. Mary's, who already beat the Gonzaga Bulldogs early in the season. Down in St. Mary's, and Gonzaga paid them back. 77-68, big win for the Bulldogs over the Gales of St. Mary's. To the Mountain West we go. 22nd, San Diego State Aztecs on the road to take on New Mexico State, who are on the bubble line. So New Mexico's looking for another win to help solidify their spot. They could not get it. 73-72 at the buzzer. San Diego State survives in New Mexico. And then you have BYU hosting San Francisco in the West Coast Conference, with both teams looking to pad their resume to make a tournament bid. But it'll be BYU dominating San Francisco 87-60. And then we go to what took place on yesterday. Maryland Terrapins hosting 21st-ranked Northwestern Wildcats, and Maryland flexed their muscles throughout this game. 75-59 win of a 21st-ranked Wildcats. Down in the American Conference, the Memphis Tigers hosting the Cincinnati Bearcats, with Cincinnati Bearcats hoping to do some things to get into the tournament. Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers won't have it at home. 76-73, big win for the Tigers. Bad loss for the Bearcats. Two teams in the Big Ten fighting for their postseason lives. It was the Wisconsin Badgers in the Big House in Ann Arbor, Michigan, to take on the Michigan Wolverines. Hunter Dickinson sends the game in overtime, and in overtime, it was all Michigan, 87-79. The Big Blue Wolverines take down the Badgers. In a game that Colorado could have shocked the world, and they had opportunities to do so, but they came on short when it counted most. UCLA goes into Colorado and comes out victorious, 60-56. And then the final recap game that we have for you, we had the Rutgers Scarlet Knights taking on the Penn State Nittany Lions, two teams who are fighting for their tournament lives. Penn State had a 19-point lead, but it evaporated before their eyes as Rutgers came back to beat the Nittany Lions 59-56 in Happy Valley, which turned into Sad Valley if you are Nittany Lions fans. Some games to look forward to this upcoming week. Starting tonight, you have the Baylor Bears taking on the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Oklahoma State needs this win at home to have a prayer of a chance to make the NCAA tournament. Also, West Virginia's in the same spot, but they are on the road to take on 23rd-ranked Iowa State. They need this win to pad their resume. In the ACC, we're talking Clemson versus Virginia. Can Virginia make up for that bad loss that they took to North Carolina? Clemson, can they get a top 10 win to solidify their spot in the NCAA tournament? And then you have Iowa taking on Indiana. Iowa fighting for their lives with an amazing comeback win over Michigan State, by the way. That's amazing. Down 10 with a minute to go, and you come back and win that game. Very, very awesome. But now you are in Assembly Hall to take on 17-ranked Indiana. Can you do the unthinkable and win at Assembly Hall? That was all today's game. Tomorrow, we starting off with Duke versus NC State. Duke looking strong. They looking better each and every game. NC State trying to get back right before the ACC tournament that's going into the NCAA tournament, which we'll see in Cameron Indoor at 7 p.m. ESPN. 9 p.m. ESPN tomorrow. Kansas is hosting Texas Tech. Can Texas Tech go into Allen Fieldhouse and get a much-needed upset win over number 3 Kansas? We shall see. Also at 9 on ESPN2, we have the Arkansas Razorback host. The Arkansas Razorback on the road in Knoxville to take on 11-ranked Tennessee. It's going to be interesting to see, can Arkansas get a much-needed win versus a top 15 team on the road to get them into the tournament. And then also at 9 on CBS Sports Network, 22nd-ranked San Diego State playing or in Boise, Idaho to take on the Boise State Broncos. to begin the month of March, we have a top 25 showdown in the Big East with Xavier taking on Providence with the Flyers at home. That is 6:30 p.m. on FS1. On ESPN2 at 7 p.m., we have the Iron Bowl in basketball when Auburn is in Tuscaloosa to take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. At 9 p.m. on ESPN2 after the Iron Bowl, we have the Texas Longhorns ranked 8th in the nation. They are facing off against the Horned Frogs of TCU ranked 24th. And then on the Big Ten Network, Northwestern returns home. Can they make up for that loss that they took to Maryland as Penn State is looking to come in and pad their resume to get a NCAA tournament bid? Here's all your bubble teams as of right now, as we look at it. This will probably be updated sometime today or tomorrow from Giornanotti, but as of right now, your last four buys is Pittsburgh, Nevada, Memphis, and West Virginia. Your last four in is Oklahoma State, USC, Wisconsin, and Mississippi State. First four out, Penn State, Utah State, North Carolina, Charleston. Next four out, Texas Tech, Clemson, Michigan, and New Mexico State. Like I said, this came out on Saturday. I'm pretty sure this will be updated between today and tomorrow with the new switch arounds that is going to happen. So I won't pay too much attention to this, but this is where we at right now. Okay, quick break. We'll be back. We're going to get into the ladies' side of it.
Welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. The only professional wrestling podcast in the world where pro wrestling is discussed passionately, with confidence, with great knowledge, and most of all, in the most sophisticated way. So brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, because chaos is about to be unleashed.
Thing with Tony Khan now being in talks to buy WWE, I'm going to be honest with you. I spoke to this with Ricky Litwinkiewicz, a.k.a. the Master of Mayhem, and he honestly believes that me talking about Tony Khan buying WWE is a basically I'm kind of wasting my time because Ricky believes it's never going to happen. Okay. Now don't get me wrong. Ricky, I respect what he says. He could very well be correct. But I got to be honest with you. The fact that Khan is interested in supposedly buying WWE, to me, that's definitely worth talking about. Now, I should mention this. Shout out to Ricky, by the way. And I got to mention this, that even Jim Cornette already had something to say. And he said, and I quote, "Ridiculous to think that could happen," unquote. It's a wrestling fan that's been super supportive of Brody Lee as a wrestler and everything that WWE could have done with him and, you know, everything that he could have shown and, you know, offered for the wrestling business. You know, for me, I wasn't just a fan of Brody Lee himself, like in character. I strongly respected him, you know, as a human being. Like, I had a lot of respect for Jonathan Huber. You know, that's Mr. Brody Lee's real name. So basically, I had a lot of respect for Brody Lee, Luke Harper, and of course, Mr. Jonathan Huber. Particular episode was about world-class championship wrestling. And the episode title is, you know, WCCW Wrestling's Lone Star Legacy. And because I am the Bear of Texas, and I do hail from the Dallas-Fort Worth area of the state of Texas, world-class championship wrestling was basically my territory as far as being a wrestling fan goes. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on all streaming platforms including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
All right, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out as we get to our women's side of the college basketball slate. And before we get up out of here, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start off by saying Don Staley said this going into this past weekend, undefeated South Carolina doesn't need a loss for a push. And I think I agree with her. I mean, you'll see why in a minute.
South Carolina, Indiana, Stanford, and Utah projected top seeds for the final reveal. It's projected that South Carolina be the overall seed, Indiana be the two, Stanford the three, and Utah being the four. Two Pac-12 teams getting number one seeds. That would be interesting. They have UConn as a two seed right now, and if that does hold up, they'll be in the same bracket as the South Carolina Gamecocks. That would be interesting if that is your Elite Eight matchup for a final support spot, South Carolina, UConn. Just a talk. NCAA sanctions Miami women's suits for NIL related fractions. This kind of threw me off a bit, to be honest. Still trying to figure out what exactly they did wrong to get this suppression. So I'm gonna go back to the article again and see what happens here. It says here the NCAA issued its first sanction in a case related to name, image, and likeness opportunities for college athletes Friday. Namely, the Miami women's basketball program with a year probation and another minor penalty for its involvement in urging a meeting between a wealthy alum and two players who transferred to the school last summer. The case involves several predominant figures in the instance marketplace for NIL deals, none of whom received any direct sanctions from the NCAA. The sanctions stem from a meeting between Miami alum John Woos and transfer basketball players Haley and Hannah Kovinder. Excuse me. But these sanctions have taken place. Nobody in this is happy about it. There'll be some lawsuits being thrown around towards the NCAA and whatnot. So we shall see what happens with them, because Miami, they was on the verge of making the NCAA tournament. So we shall see if they are still allowed to be in the NCAA tournament or not. But yeah, that's a big one. Notre Dame top star Olivia Miles injured right knee. She injured her knee yesterday's game. And there's no timetable for her return. There's no updates on her injury as of right now. So if you're a Notre Dame fan, follow it. Follow whoever you need to follow for updates on that. But that is a big loss when she misses significant time. Olivia Miles injures right knee for Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Utah earns share of first Pac-12 title with dream win over Stanford. I'll get to that game in a bit. But yes, the Utah Utes have earned a share of the Pac-12 title. Then going right to that game, it was the Utah Utes hosting the Stanford Cardinals over the weekend, and with the Utes winning 84-78, getting a share of the Pac-12 title with the Stanford Cardinals. The Red River rivalry of women's college basketball took place in Norman, Oklahoma, with 13-ranked Sooners hosting 19-ranked Longhorns, and it was the Longhorns. Shout out to Megan Preston for the Longhorns going on the road to knock off the Sooners. And Norman, Oklahoma, 67-45. The men felt an upset in their last game. So did the women. Oregon State, ladies and gentlemen, hosted the Lady Wildcats of Arizona, ranked 14th in the country. And it was the Beavers knocking out the Wildcats, 78-70. Continuing on, we had Memphis and SMU both battling for Bubba teams. The game went in overtime, and the Memphis Lady Tigers take it 69-68. Speaking of the Miami Hurricanes, they hosted Virginia down in Coral Gables, 85-74. It was no contest. Miami girls are just balling. But we'll see how these infractions to the NIL deals hurt the Miami Hurricanes this postseason and probably going forward. Before the men's crazy game between Michigan and Wisconsin, it was the ladies took stage first when 12-ranked Wolverines went to Madison to take on the Badgers, and it was the Badgers at home winning this one 78-70, getting the top 15 win, but that would not cut it for them. That's a bad loss for the Lady Wolverines. Speaking of bad losses, 23rd-ranked Florida State Seminoles
They was in Death Valley to take on the Clemson Tigers, and they didn't walk out of there victorious. They got upset by the Tigers, 74-61. And then we get to Sunday slate. Sunday slate was a doozy one, ladies and gentlemen. We kicked it off with the Georgia Bulldogs in Columbia, South Carolina, to take on the number one team in the reigning defending champion Gamecocks. And as you can see, 73-63. I don't think they need a push. I don't think they need a loss for a push because this team keeps rolling. They just keep on rolling. They keep on winning by double digits. In the game, well, Olivia Miles injured her knee. It was the 10th-ranked Fighting Irish taking on the Louisville Cardinals in Louisville, Kentucky. Good back-and-forth game between the Fighting Irish and the Cardinals, but it was the Fighting Irish coming out victorious on the road, 68-56, thus winning the ACC because the next game on the underneath was the Tobacco Road rivalry between North Carolina and Duke and Cameron Indoors, the 11-ranked Blue Devils, had a double-digit lead and watch it evaporate to their arch-rival Tar Heels as the Tar Heels come back and win 45-41, giving the regular season title to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish because North Carolina came back and stunned the Blue Devils. In the Big Ten showdown game of the week between number two Indiana Hoosiers versus number six Iowa Hawkeyes, a battle back and forth. No team was in control, but Katie Clark called game. Down 83-85 with just seconds left, she called game from a three-point range, and it went in 86-85. Katie Clark sends the Iowa Hawkeyes home with toys on senior day in Iowa City. As we continue on, we had the Kansas Jayhawks hosting the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Two teams fighting for a postseason berth, with Kansas needed a much-needed win for the Kansas Jayhawks as they are on the bubble fighting for their playoff lives, 66-57 win. Ole Miss and Alabama got together in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and it was the Lady Rebels taking it 57-55 on a row in Tuscaloosa. Good win for the Lady Rebels of Ole Miss. And then the final game, it was the Mississippi State Bulldogs. They were in the SEC's Death Valley to take on 5th-ranked LSU Tigers. Angel Weiss and the Tigers, they are just rolling. 74-59, blowout win over the Bulldogs. Games to look forward to on the women's side tonight, 7 p.m. FS1, 15th-ranked Wildcats of Villanova. They are taking on Seton Hall on the road. Also at 7 o'clock on ESPN2, the Baylor Bears versus the Texas Longhorns down in Austin, Texas. Can Baylor get a much-needed win against 19th-ranked Texas? We shall see. And FS1 continues the Big East fight. Two teams on the bubble, DuPaul versus Marquette. Marquette needs a win. DuPaul looking for a win. We'll skip tomorrow. Go straight to the month of March because March, Kansas State Wildcats, they are in Northern Oklahoma to take on the Oklahoma Sooners. Kansas State needs a big win, and they can get it in Northern Oklahoma to begin March to pad their resume to get into the NCAA tournament. Another team looking to pad their resume to the NCAA tournament, the West Virginia Mountaineers. They are hosting the Oklahoma State Cowboys at 7 p.m. on the Big 12 Network. After that, on the Big 12 Network, number 20, the Iowa State Cyclones. They are in Allen Fieldhouse to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. These are just like Joe Lunardi, Charlie Cream. These were the teams he was looking at Saturday going into the weekend. Last four buys, Purdue, Illinois, Miami, and Kansas. Last four in, Marquette, St. John, Princeton, Syracuse. First four out, Oregon, Nebraska, West Virginia, Arkansas. Next four out, Toledo, Missouri, Kansas State, and West in Washington. But for some of these teams, conference tournaments I've already played. If you're in the SEC, if you're Miami, if you're Syracuse, you know, if you're some of these teams, conference tournament is already underway because beginning March 1st, ladies and gentlemen, the ACC tournament gets off. You have Wake Forest versus Virginia. You have Clemson versus Pitt, and you have Boston College versus Georgia Tech to take off the ACC tournament that will take place on March 1st with the championship game on Sunday, March 5th. We shall see who's going to get the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament from the ACC. Not only that, the Big Ten's women's tournament tips off on March 1st. Well, Penn State and Minnesota kicking things off, followed by Northwestern and Rutgers. Also, that championship game will be Sunday, March 5th. So who will get the automatic bid from the Big Ten tournament? And also, and finally, the SEC tournament tips off on Wednesday, March 1st, beginning with the Texas A&M Aggies and the Vanderbilt Commodores, followed by the Kentucky Wildcats and the Florida Gators. My Gators, who have not been impressive whatsoever this season. They see if they can make a run here and try to do something here. But nevertheless, it is South Carolina's tournament to lose. That championship game would be taking place on Sunday, March 5th. That is all I have for you today here on Shooting Lights Out. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope you have a good day, a good week, because basketball is picking up. It's the race for the playoffs, and it's the race to March Madness. Y'all have a good one.
But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Being through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the floor.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.